Panoramic Productions.
This is the Northern Range Country of Wyoming. The year is 1877. What you are about to see actually happened. The only difference will be that when the Indians speak, they will speak in our language so that you can understand them.
Leonard Goldstein presents White Feather. Starring Robert Wagner, John Lund, Deborah Padgett, and Jeffrey Hunter. With Edouard France, Noah Beery, Virginia Leith, Emile Meyer, Hugh O'Brien, and Milburn Stone. Screenplay by Delma Daves and Leo Townsend. Story by John Preble. Music by Hugo Friedhofer. A man on horseback rides across far-reaching plains that lead to gently undulating hills in the far distance. He's leading another pack horse behind him. Produced by Robert L. Jacks. Directed by Robert Webb. The horses splash into a wide river.
My name is Josh Tanner. I'm taking a shortcut to Fort Laramie. I shouldn't be here. This is Cheyenne country.
Ooh. Ooh, boy. Easy, boy. Easy.
Josh looks down and sees blood in the water. Slowly he looks up again and quickly scans around him. Then he sets his horses moving down the river. After a few paces, he stops. Lying at the water's edge by a couple of logs is a dead body with an arrow in its back. Josh quickly glances both ways behind him. He leads the horses to the bank, then dismounts, crouching down slightly to use his horse as cover. He drags the body out of the water. A tribe of Cheyenne Indians are watching him.
He is either a fool or he has courage.
The blood is new. He is a fool to think we are gone.
Josh has draped the body over his second horse. He takes a white handkerchief and ties it around the arrow sticking out of the man's back.
No. He thinks we are here, and he wants us to know this.
Josh notices the man's gold panning dish lying on the log. He empties the few fragments of gold from it and puts them in his pocket. Then he climbs back on his horse and sets off down the river again. The leader of the Cheyennes, Little Dog, smiles.
This is a good game. But if he crosses our river, shoot.
His men lift their bows and arrows in readiness.
We will see if his guards are with him.
Josh stops his horse midway across the river, then turns and heads off back the way he came. The Indians lower their bows and guns. Little Dog smiles again. The tribe of Cheyennes set off on their horses. Halfway down a grassy slope, they stop and watch Josh lead his horses back up out of the river.
It was a good game. Perhaps next time, he will not win.
Josh and his horses wade down another section of the river towards a small, bustling fort. Outside Fort Laramie, people have gathered round to watch two men wrestling. One of the men pins the other to the ground.
Look what's coming.
All the men get to their feet and turn to look. Josh emerges from the river. As he comes to a standstill, the men gather round him. Josh looks over to see the fort soldiers emerging on horseback through a large entrance gate. They hurry over to him, wearing their blue uniforms with yellow neckerchiefs.
Where did you find that body?
At 20 Mile Creek.
That's in Cheyenne country.
I know that.
What were you doing there?
I was on my way here.
Take him to headquarters.
Oh, I found these with him.
He gives Colonel Lindsay the fragments of gold.
Well, anybody who's getting impatient, take a good look. He couldn't wait. Peace Commission was too slow for him. So he crossed over into Indian territory and got what he deserved. Now I'm warning you. From now on, any man who crosses over and gets back will wish he hadn't. The gold you're after will still be there when the treaty is signed. But until then, the agreement is we stay on our side of the river and they stay on theirs. So far, they've stayed on theirs. But how long they will if violations like this go on, I can't promise you. Any of your friends of his?
His name is Judge Smith.
Take him and bury him. Oh. Here's what he died for. Anybody claiming it?
He tosses the gold to the ground and rides off. Two men carry the dead body into town. Colonel Lindsay canters over to a building, then gets off his horse. He goes inside where Josh is sitting waiting.
You can start explaining yourself.
Whatever you need to know, sir, is in here. There's not much to explain.
For your information, we're trying to get a new treaty signed with the Indians. The Sioux, the Crow, and the Blackfeet are discussing it with us, but Chief Broken Hand and the Cheyennes are holding out. I have no idea what they're going to do. We're sitting on a powder keg here. And people like you and that prospector seem to be doing your best to blow the lid off.
You can save the speeches, Colonel. I'm not a private in your army.
No, but you're at Fort Laramie, and I'm in charge here. Josh Tanner, huh? Why did you come here, Mr. Tanner?
It says there.
Answer the question.
I have a contract with some businessmen from St. Louis.
You mean gamblers?
Because I dress like this? Just happen to prefer it to buckskin. You can't judge a man by his clothes, can you?
You should have had more sense than to come alone through Cheyenne country at a time like this.
I traveled at night until the last day out. I certainly didn't want to go north and east down the Missouri just to make a big safe swing through Pawnee country.
You seem to know the territory.
One of the reasons I got the contract. My father was with a trading outfit. Until I went east to school, I walked every foot of this country with him.
You're authorized here to stake out Black Hills country.
That's right.
Another gold syndicate?
Real estate. The gentleman who hired me figured that where there's gold, there'll be a city sooner or later.
And you intend to bypass gold for real estate?
I'm not a prospector, Colonel. I'm a surveyor, hired to lay out a town site.
Oh, a town builder. Just a public-spirited citizen, is that it?
Not at all. I'm being paid for it.
Well, commissioners are waiting for you at the council tree, sir.
Any sign of Broken Hand or any of the Cheyennes?
Not yet, sir.
Are the government's new gifts on display?
They are, sir.
All right, I'll be right down. Hope you enjoy your stay in Laramie. Maybe a long one.
Broken Hand should have more consideration for the gentleman from St. Louis.
Yes, and for the prospectors and thieves and gamblers that are just waiting to crawl all over his territory the minute the treaty is signed. Do you blame him for staying away?
Well, I never thought much about it, Colonel. To me, Indians are Indians. I have no feeling about them.
The colonel hands him back his letter.
I envy you that, Mr. Tanner. Good day, Mr. Tanner.
The detail ready, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Well, the Colonel will be out in a minute. Oh, Mr. Tanner.
Yes?
You know that all civilians are restricted to this side of the river till the council is finished.
I believe the Colonel mentioned that fact.
Josh untethers his horses and sets off through the fort. He leads them across the busy thoroughfare that runs through the heart of Fort Laramie and takes them over to a small store. He ties the horses up outside, then heads in. People are gathered inside, while a few Indians wait at the door and just outside.
This here's a white man's store. And if I never see another Indian around here, it'll be soon enough for me. Run them off the land is what I say. Like we should have run Red Cloud off 8 years ago, when he sat right in this room signing that half-baked, misbegotten treaty. The one that's keeping you prospectors tied down here, instead of out there where there's enough gold laying right out on the ground to pay for the whole Civil War.
I beg your pardon. I'm looking for a room.
See the daughter at the back. If I was you, I'd just buy repeaters and enough ammunition.
Josh heads through to the back and a door marked private. He looks at it for a moment, then knocks. He opens the door and steps inside. Seeing nobody there, he's about to head back out again, but a woman comes in from another room, wearing a robe and patting her face dry with a towel.
What are you doing here?
I'm sorry,
Get out! Get out of here!
Your father sent me.
He sent you?
Yes, it was about a room. He said to see the daughter at the back.
This is a store, not a hotel. We have no rooms.
Well, anything with a roof over my head would do. Even a nice empty shell someplace.
You a faro dealer?
You and the Colonel. I'm a surveyor. I'll even call myself a topographical engineer if it'll get me any closer to your bathtub. But since there's no room, I'll run along. And I apologize for breaking in on you like this.
There is the storeroom. That's where the tub is.
Anne walks over to him, then edges past him and out through the door. She heads off, leading the way, and he follows her. She comes to a pair of doors and unlocks them, then pushes them open and steps inside the darkened storeroom.
Bean sacks.
This is the best bunk in the world. They shift when you turn over.
Say, this is a beauty.
Did my father say anything to you about me when you talked to him?
No. No, he didn't, only that I was to ask you about the room.
She pauses for a moment, then quickly hurries out. Josh watches her in confusion.
Many days we have waited, and Broken Hand and his Cheyennes have not come to sit with us. I ask now that our friends, the Sioux, the Arapahoes, and the Blackfeet, sign the treaty without him.
Indians!
The Cheyennes rampage up to the fort. The townsfolk take cover where they can, as the Cheyennes' horses gallop straight through them and across a river a short distance away. A man in a grey suit, Commissioner Trenton, gets to his feet angrily.
Colonel, those Indians should be hanged! Every last one of them should be hanged!
What charges would you file?
Charges? Well, the brazenness of this whole, the indignity of it.
Is your lost dignity worth the war? Well, I guess you're right. We've lost so much face around here now. I guess this little bit more won't kill us.
Josh and Anne are riding across the hills together. They bring their horses to a stop and dismount. Anne wanders over to a good vantage point, then sits on the ground. Josh kneels beside her. The plains below them are dotted with white teepees, where the various Indian tribes have made their settlements.
Arapaho, Blackfeet.
And not a Cheyenne in sight. You come here often?
Whenever I can. I feel sorry for them.
Why? Because your father hates them?
It hasn't anything to do with him. It's the way they're pushed around. They haven't got a chance, really. I think they know it. It must be like being all alone.
I guess you'd know about that.
They turn to see Indians approaching down the hill behind them. Quickly, they get up.
Please behave naturally, Anne. And don't feel too sorry for this outfit. The Cheyennes.
Little Dog rides over to them. He regards them for a moment, pacing, then turns and gives his mount a swift kick to bring it closer to them. He steers it between them.
Don't turn around, Anne. It'll mean we're afraid. That's what he wants.
Little Dog brings his horse right up close to Josh, then grabs his hat and puts it on his own head. He parades in front of his warriors. They all go wild, waving their bows in the air as Little Dog moves through them, the hat at a jaunty angle over his eyes. Then he comes to a stop, slowly removes the hat, and throws it to the ground. Josh picks it up, dusts it off, then puts it back on his head, walking round Little Dog's horse as he does so. Then he steps up to Little Dog and plucks a feather from his headdress, pointedly attaching it to his own hat.
It looks better on him.
He puts the feather back in Little Dog's headdress, then steps back and gives a small bow. As he goes to walk away, another Cheyenne puts a sword against his back.
How are you called?
Josh Tanner.
How is she called?
Her name is Anne.
I am Little Dog. This one is my friend American Horse. We are Cheyennes.
I know this.
You know then what this means?
It means you have killed enemies.
And I have killed white men, too.
Pointing at a yellow mark on his cheek.
She is your squaw?
No. She is my friend. We'll go back to the fort now. It'll be all right. A Cheyenne is a warrior. He's too proud to attack us with our backs turned.
He helps Anne up onto her horse. Little Dog and American Horse exchange glances. Then Josh mounts his horse and follows Anne off through the Indians. American Horse pulls on his horse's head, making it move back a few steps. The Cheyennes ride off en masse, kicking up a cloud of dust which lingers in the air behind them. They tear through the trees and over the hillside, surrounding Anne and Josh, brandishing their bows and swords above their heads. They circle them a couple of times, then gallop off down the hill. As Anne and Josh carry calmly on their way, the Cheyennes appear a short distance ahead of them, facing them full on. The two parties move slowly towards each other, coming to a stop when they're a few feet apart.
Pressure!
Josh waits, with a worried look on his face. He takes off his hat and hands it to Anne, then pulls a comb out of his top pocket and starts slicking back his hair with fake nonchalance. Little Dog smiles and turns to look at American Horse.
Stay where you are.
Josh steers his horse up to Little Dog. He offers him his comb. Little Dog takes it and studies it for a moment. He shakes his long black hair out of its plaits and starts to comb it. Then he passes the comb on to American Horse.
It makes a young chief's hair shine like the wing of the raven. He is welcome to it.
Little Dog takes the comb back.
2 times I have held your life here. 2 times you have won the game. I will remember both days with laughter.
The Cheyennes gallop off in a cloud of dust. Josh breathes a sigh of relief and looks over at Anne.
I'm glad he thought it was funny. I didn't.
I'm still scared.
You know something? So am I.
Magruder comes to find Josh in his storeroom.
You were a big hero this afternoon, the daughter tells me.
Not at all. I was scared to death.
Followed her up there.
Did she tell you that?
I'm telling you that. You're the first one she's liked. Since she was 13 years old, you're the first one. But you don't have nothing to do with men, see?
I know, I know.
How do you know? Did you try something?
No, I didn't try anything. Well,
before you do, you better know how it is with her. She ain't fit merchandise for marriage.
Josh frowns at him, then folds up his telescope tripod.
It happened back a long time ago, and it wasn't pretty. I killed a man.
You didn't have to tell me that.
Oh, it's true. And there's lots more around here knows it, too.
You make sure of that, don't you?
I tell everybody. It starts getting ideas. She don't have nothing to do with men.
Anne comes in.
If she sees many more like you, I don't blame her. Oh. Anne.
A message just came from the gate. There's a Cheyenne warrior waiting to see you.
Will you walk down to the gate with me, Anne?
Thank you. I'd like to.
Magruder follows them out. Josh and Anne emerge from the stall. Anne takes Josh's hand, and together they walk over to the fort gate. A soldier, Ferguson, leaning against a pillar with his pipe, smiles as he watches them.
Josh Tanner.
Josh takes a couple of steps towards Little Dog, who leans forward and shakes his hand, then holds up his hand.
Have no fear. It is only my sister.
A beautiful woman walks towards them, carrying an animal hide.
She is called Appearing Day. We have brought something for you.
She offers him the fur.
This is a very rich present.
It is a small thing. I have come really to welcome you to our village.
Little Dog says welcome, but would Chief Broken Hand say the same?
Is not my invitation good enough?
I didn't mean that.
Chief Broken Hand is my father. What I wish, he will wish. Do not come if you do not want. Or if you are afraid.
Little Dog turns and gallops off, leaving Appearing Day and Josh looking at one another. Josh turns to see Anne watching them. He turns back to Appearing Day, who quickly hurries off. Josh comes back over to Anne with the fur.
Look at this.
Looks like you found a friend. Or should I say two?
You can say three if you want.
Thank you.
You call him a friend. Maybe so. But I'd hate to have an enemy that dangerous.
A Cheyenne stands on a boulder and signals to two of his fellow Indians, who quickly take a blanket and start sending smoke signals. Josh is arriving on horseback. At the top of a rocky hill, clouds of smoke appear at intervals. A couple of Indians are standing keeping watch as Josh appears round a corner on horseback. His horse carefully negotiates a path across the rocks. Josh continues on along the path that winds its way through the rocky outcrops. Ahead of him lies the Cheyenne settlement, a plain filled with teepees. Josh steers his horse towards the settlement. Horses and people are mingling around the busy township. As Josh picks his way down through the rocks, a pack of horses streams past him, being herded by a couple of Cheyennes. He stops his horse and waits for the herd to pass, before continuing on his way through the dust. Two Indian women scraping at animal furs on the ground stop to look at him. Nearby, a crowd of children are kicking a ball around. Josh saunters slowly past them. Families sit gathered outside their teepees. All eyes are on Josh as he makes his way through the busy settlement. All around, the Cheyennes are going about their daily business, collecting sticks for fires and carrying baskets. Josh takes it all in as he rides on through. Behind him, two Indians on horseback are following him, keeping their distance. Josh rides on towards a group of children gathered around a teacher who's writing on an animal skin stretched across a wooden frame. He stops and looks around, waiting. Appearing Day emerges from her teepee. When she sees Josh, she smiles warmly. He directs his horse towards her. As he approaches, he tips his hat in greeting.
My brother and American Horse are waiting for you. I will take you to them.
I will walk with you.
They are on the battleground. They want you to see it.
Battleground?
It is only practice. They say the white soldiers practice. It is so?
I'm afraid it is.
Then that is why they must practice, Little Dog says. There, you will see them.
Little Dog gives a signal, and an arrow is fired. American Horse raises his arm, and he and his men tear off towards the battlefield.
Each arrow has a meaning. Now is the signal to attack.
Little Dog follows with another band of warriors. They all gallop onto the battlefield, which is peppered with blazing fires. As he gallops, Little Dog pulls back a flaming arrow and fires at models of men standing beside blazing wagons of hay. He hits one square in the chest. His men follow him and ride their horses over a low jump stretched across the path.
Now the arrow tells the braves to retreat.
The horses all race away from the battlefield. Little Dog and American Horse gallop over to Josh and Appearing Day and dismount.
American Horse? Little Dog?
I see Tanner was not afraid.
I'm here.
Our practice does not please you?
I was hoping to see someone practicing the signing of a peace treaty.
Peace treaty?
We are Cheyennes.
The treaty pen does not fit our hand as well as the arrow.
I've brought you something that I'm sure you'll find will fit your hand even better than the arrow. For my friend Little Dog, and for my friend American Horse.
A pair of knives.
It has the sting of the arrow.
How is it called?
A bowie knife. It is for hunting.
It could be for many things.
Little Dog hurls it at a scarecrow. American Horse does the same. Both knives hit the scarecrow in the face. Josh takes out his own knife and throws it. It, too, hits the scarecrow in the face.
Aha!
With a smile, American Horse runs over and pulls out the knives. He tosses one to Little Dog and the other to Josh.
Appearing Day will take the horses. I have things to show my friend.
Little Dog and American Horse lead Josh through the settlement. Appearing Day trails behind them with the horses.
Your sister has much beauty.
It is for that reason she is very expensive. When a brave takes a bride, he gives 4, sometimes 6 ponies. But for Appearing Day, my father asked 200.
Well, even at that price, I'm sure there are many offers.
Come, now you will see the things I have to show you.
He leads Josh into his teepee. Appearing Day is gathering berries from a bush near the river. Josh comes over, making her start.
Did I scare you? I just came down to wash up for dinner.
There won't be a war dance in your honor.
Oh?
These berries are for the feast.
She kneels beside him, peering at him curiously as he washes his face with soap and water from the river.
Here, smell.
It is like the forest.
They call it pine tree soap. You may have it. Keep it. It's yours.
May I kiss you, thank you?
What was that?
May I kiss you, thank you?
I'm not sure I understand.
When I was little, there were sometimes white boys in the camp, and they would have a birthday, and we would make presents. They told me I must always kiss for each present.
Did they tell you that was the custom of the white man?
Yes. Is it not true?
Well, yes, it is true. Many people kiss when they receive presents.
Then please, I will like it.
She purses her lips in offering. Josh presses his lips gently against hers in a lingering kiss.
Indian boys do not kiss Indian girls. I do not know why not. It is very nice in feeling. I would like it again, please. But longer?
She offers him her lips again. With a frown, Josh leans forward and kisses her once more, this time with more passion. When they pull apart, Appearing Day looks at him with concern, then gets up and hurries away. the Cheyennes are gathered in a clearing at the center of the settlement. As the chiefs sit around a fire in the middle with Josh and Appearing Day, warriors dance round them.
Josh wishes more.
Thank you. It's a feast I won't forget. But I'd hope to meet Broken Hand.
My father returns tomorrow.
May I come back?
Do you come as a friend, or do you come to speak the cause of the white soldier?
I come in friendship.
Then you are welcome.
I will be here. But now I must say goodnight.
We will ride with you to the river.
I can find my way.
No, you must let them.
To ride alone is dangerous.
We must protect you from the Cheyennes.
Little Dog and American Horse are escorting Josh to the river.
I will say goodnight now. And thank you.
And to you for these. How are they called?
Bowie knives.
We have given you nothing.
You've given me your friendship.
That is not enough. Tanner will hear from us.
Josh steers his horse away and into the river.
I am thinking of horses, Little Dog. And the fine ones in the Crow Village.
Come. Tanner will have his present.
Early evening, Josh emerges from the stall.
Here's why I sent for you, Mr. Tanner. He's yours. Two young Cheyenne brought him in. They said you'd know what it was about.
Are they still here?
No, they didn't stay but hardly a second. Almost seemed like they was in a hurry.
Boy, he sure is a beauty, isn't he?
He sure is.
Josh strokes the horse's face, then leads him off. Josh is riding across a wide open field filled with yellow flowers. A team of Indians coming down a hill spot him. The leader points his spear at him, then rallies his men. Josh pulls up on his new horse and turns to watch the Indians for a moment. Then, realizing they're on the attack, he sets off at speed. On a nearby hillside, Little Dog and American Horse spot what's going on. They chuckle as they watch the Indians gaining on Josh. Josh rides as fast as he can up the hill, but they're closing in on him. The smiles fade from the Cheyennes' faces, and they too set off. Josh guides his horse down a short, steep slope towards a creek. As he enters the water, the leader of the Indians leaps onto him. Josh manages to wrestle him off, tossing him in the water. Then he continues on to meet Little Dog and American Horse.
Do not be afraid. They are only crows.
Why were they after me? I was on my side of the river.
It is simple. This horse we gave you, it is theirs.
Thanks. You almost got me killed.
You do not understand. It is American Horse and me they wish to kill. We stole the pony.
Well, what are we supposed to do now? Wait here while they kill you, or do we fight?
Fight? Fight crows? It is beneath Cheyennes to fight crows. But I will send them a challenge. We'll see if their horses match ours. Crows!
Little Dog tosses something to the ground, and the crows immediately splash across the river in pursuit. The Cheyennes race through the trees at great speed. The crows are hot on their tails, bounding over a fallen tree in their path. The chase continues through the forest. Little Dog, who's sitting facing backwards astride a horse, brandishes an arrow at the crows, but then falls off his horse. Josh notices and quickly turns his horse round. American Horse joins him.
Little Dog, up here!
As the two sides clash, Josh holds a horse steady and Little Dog jumps onto it. They race through the battle, leading the Cheyennes away. They arrive back at the Cheyenne settlement, and as they dismount, smiling, Appearing Day comes out of her teepee.
You ride a fine new horse.
Thanks to your brother, an American Horse.
We played a game with them. It was good sport.
Did you win the game?
Who could lose to crows?
I almost did.
A herd of horses is racing through the settlement towards them. The man leading them is on a white horse. Behind him are hundreds more men on horses. As they make their way through the settlement, the men slow the horses down to a gentle canter. The Cheyenne villagers stream after them on foot. The man at the helm is wearing a flamboyant headdress of many feathers and has an elderly, distinguished look about him. Little Dog and American Horse race towards him, and the other villagers gather round. Later, Josh comes to join Appearing Day, who's stirring her cooking pot over the fire. He puts his finger in and tastes it.
What's the matter? Everyone else in the village is happy and excited tonight. Why aren't you?
Tonight, my father will tell his decision. If it is war, I will be sad. If it is peace, we must move, and I will not like that.
Well, if you do move, you'll still be with your father and your brother and your friends.
The lady who came to the fort gate with you, she is your woman?
No, I have no woman.
She's very beautiful. To marry her will cost many horses.
As many as 200, do you think?
Little Dog emerges from his teepee and strides over to Josh and Appearing Day.
My father asked to see you. Come with me.
Josh gets up and follows him. Appearing Day watches him go. They enter the teepee.
My father, Chief Brokenhand.
Josh takes off his hat and stares in wonder at Chief Brokenhand, who's dressed in full tribal regalia. The chief offers his hand and Josh shakes it.
My son has told me of you. He has said you come as a friend. Is this true?
That is true.
Then you are welcome here. You will come to the council and sit with us. It is my wish.
The chief emerges from his teepee. He walks regally past the villagers, Appearing Day holding his shield and bow behind him. Then he gestures for Josh and Little Dog to take a seat at the council gathering and raises his arms to settle the crowds who've gathered to watch.
White One is here as our friend. My son, Little Dog, will tell those who need to be told.
He unhitches the embroidered wrap around his waist and lets it fall to the ground.
It is the time of deciding!
He holds up his hands for silence once more.
I have listened to all that has been said. I have thought long thoughts. In the time of our fathers, there were two great herd of buffalo across this land.
Then, when we were young warriors, there became only one herd of buffalo. And now our sons for many moons have hunted for the buffalo which is no longer as it was in this land. It is gone. Our neighbors, the Sioux, the Blackfeet, and the Arapaho know this. I have called this council to tell you that on this day, they have agreed to take the offer of the white man and leave this country.
Chief Broken Hand raises his hands for silence again.
So if we stay in this our land, we will have to fight the white man alone. And without meat in our bellies to give us the strength to fight.
Our young men are brave. We will fight!
Our young men are brave. But if we stay in these hills, they will be killed. They will all die. This I know. So the decision is made. We will sign this treaty with the white. We will leave this land for the new land in the south. We will take our horses and our lodges and our weapons. But we will never again use these weapons to kill our Indian enemies or the white man. That is over. The killing is ended.
Little Doc has got to his feet.
Tanner, you will wait for me in my lodge. I will speak with you there.
Josh gets up and walks off.
It is best that he goes. Things must now be said that cannot be said before him.
Josh sits alone, waiting in Chief Broken Hand's lodge. Finally, the chief enters, and Josh immediately stands up.
It is my wish that you tell the leader of the white soldiers what you have heard here.
I will.
If he brings the paper saying the things I have said, tell him I will put my mark on it.
Is that all?
Sit down, my friend.
The two men sit down beside the fire.
Little Dog was angry. His blood ran hot at the council.
Does this mean that he'll refuse to go with you when you move away?
I do not know this. In the days of my youth, I would have stayed. His blood is my blood.
If Little Dog asks all the young warriors not to go with you, but to stay and fight, will they do this?
I am chief of all the Cheyennes. My son would have to kill me to prevent me from leading my people south. He will not kill me. But tonight he will decide what he will do, for he's gone to the lodge of the medicine man alone.
The chief takes off his headdress.
You are his friend. Would you go to him there? His deciding may mean his whole life.
I will go to Little Dog.
Josh gets to his feet and leaves.
Where's the lodge of the medicine man?
Appearing Day points.
Josh, Little Dog is my brother and I love him. I pray he will listen to you.
Josh walks off. He enters the medicine lodge and stares in awe at the scene before him. In front of a table on which sits an adorned buffalo head, Little Dog is kneeling, holding up a knife. He plunges it into the mound of earth containing the fire on the ground before him stabbing at it repeatedly.
Little dog?
Little dog gets to his feet, his face filled with anger.
Why did you come here?
I came to say goodbye to my friend.
Little dog stabs at the earth once more.
You should not have heard those words spoken this night. That was not Cheyenne talk. That was the talk of women.
Little dog doesn't have to prove his courage. It is known by the white man and by the Cheyenne. It is known of Little Bighorn and amongst the Sioux and the Crow that there is no warrior who has more bravery than Little Dog. But he must now show that he is also wise. As wise as the old warriors.
My father has spoken of me to you.
He doesn't want his son to die.
He would die here if he were not old. I know this.
The chief of all the Cheyennes must think for all his people. Little Dog knows that it is not fear that speaks within his father, but wisdom.
Then I do not like wisdom!
As his anger subsides, Little Dog turns to face Josh.
Would Tanner go south with the women and the old ones?
Josh paces thoughtfully.
I don't know, Little Dog.
Little Dog crumbles a little, then falls to his knees. Josh crouches down on the other side of the fire.
Yes, I think I would go south if I were you. Sometimes there is a change. We don't see the reason for it, but it's there.
These things are easy for Tanner to say, because he is a white man. Then let the white man go south. We are not farmers, we are Cheyennes! And hunters! And fighters!
Josh slowly gets to his feet. Little Dog stands up and stares at him defiantly.
I will go into the hills by myself. The spirits will tell me what to do. They will not lie to me.
He walks off. Josh watches him go for a moment, then follows him out. As he emerges from the teepee, he sees a peering day coming over with his horse. Josh puts on his hat and walks towards her. He adjusts the stirrup slightly on his horse, then turns to look at a peering day.
You went in the hills to speak with the spirits.
A peering day looks down anxiously.
Josh, would you tell me something? Help me understand.
I'll try.
My father has said that if we stay here, we will die. The lady at the fort, she can live in our land and she will not have to die.
No.
And you will not have to die. I have thought of it and I cannot understand why there must be this difference.
I don't think even the spirits have an answer to that.
Maybe if we could live in the white man's world, there would be no more talk of dying. Many white people have come here. Behind them, they must have left a great empty space. So if they no longer want this place, maybe the Cheyennes could go there and live. You will tell me if this can be done.
Would you be happy in a white man's world?
I would try. Yes, I would be happy.
I'd give a great deal if I could help Appearing Day.
I believe this.
As she presses her head to his hand gratefully, American Horse watches them from a short distance away. Josh gets up onto his horse, then bends down to kiss her before setting off. American Horse strides over to Appearing Day and slaps her across the face. Then he marches back off without a word.
Hard to believe that it's all over.
Did he say how soon he'd be ready to sign?
I imagine the sooner the better, sir.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Some of the other tribes have already started to move out. Well, I'll be glad to see the end of it. I'm sure it's been worse for Broken Hand.
I know it has. I feel sorry for him.
You told me once you had no feeling about the Indians. You've changed.
Sometimes you learn things in spite of yourself, sir.
Good night, Mr. Tanner. Oh, Mr. Tanner. Thanks. Maybe it was only your vest I didn't like.
Good night, sir.
As Josh leaves the colonel's office, American Horse grabs him from behind.
You are not here.
She's mine!
Josh throws him to the ground, but American Horse attacks him again with his knife.
She's promised to me. I tell you!
As Josh wrestles the knife from him, Colonel Lindsay comes running out of his office.
Sentry! Guard! Let him down there!
American Horse tries to run off, but is captured. He struggles as the soldiers haul him to his feet.
Get him down to the guardhouse.
You hurt?
No, I don't think so.
Who was it?
One of the Cheyennes. Can't understand it. I don't know why.
There's a Pawnee scout dead, sir. That Cheyenne knifed him.
And it looked for a good 3 minutes as though something might be settled. We'll have to hold the Indian. Nothing else we can do.
Yes, sir.
Josh picks up his hat. Anne steps out of her room.
Ma'am.
Josh, that Indian girl is here.
Here?
She's waiting for you.
Appearing Day is here?
She said you told her she should come.
I told her, but I didn't say anything about... So that's why American Horse tried to... Where is she?
She's in your room.
Appearing Day is lying naked under an animal skin. As Josh and Anne come in, she sits up and smiles.
Appearing Day, you shouldn't have come here.
You wished to help, you said. I think you meant it.
But you didn't tell me you were promised to American Horse. There's been much trouble.
I did not tell you of American Horse because what was in his heart was not in mine. The word of my father was given, but not my word.
But American Horse thinks I stole you. He came here, he tried to kill me, and now they've locked him in the stockade.
American Horse was wrong to do this. I have chosen. I will stay here. This is where I will make my life.
Bundle her up and I'll take her back to her people.
I have no people. When I left our village, I told my father. Now I am dead to all of them.
Appearing Day, you don't just move in like this. Things aren't done that way.
Josh, she's left her people. You can't turn her out.
Get that squaw out of here.
I'll decide that.
He throws Magruder into the bags of grain. Magruder gets up, pushes Josh to one side, and strides out.
You can stay here, at least for now. I'll find a place to sleep outside. Go to sleep, Appearing Day. We'll talk about it in the morning. We'll work this out somehow.
Nighttime. One of the soldiers is patrolling the fort ramparts. Appearing Day is kneeling beside Josh, who's asleep. He opens his eyes, then suddenly sits up, reaching for his gun.
Appearing day.
I scare you? You told me to sleep, but I could not sleep. I have done wrong. I have made much trouble for you.
It wasn't your fault. I should have explained. I should have made you understand.
Now I do understand. There is no love in your heart for me.
He takes hold of her.
You're wrong, Appearing Day. There is much love in my heart for you.
He pulls her towards him, and they melt into a kiss. After a long, tender embrace, they pull apart.
We must go to bed now.
This time I will sleep.
She kisses him gently on the cheek, then gets up to go. It's early morning. In his cell, American Horse hears a call. Outside, Little Dog is creeping over the ramparts, keeping clear of the guards. He drops down to the ground, and a guard spins round, but doesn't see him. American Horse peers out desperately through the bars of his cell window. Little Dog steps out from behind a wall and slowly moves forwards, ducking down as a guard comes round the corner. Little Dog pulls back an arrow and shoots the guard in the chest. The soldier falls down dead. Little Dog quickly runs over to him and kneels down, cutting the keys from around his waist. He hurries to the window of American Horse's cell. The guard on the ramparts continues patrolling, unaware that Little Dog has opened the door of American Horse's cell. Two Cheyennes waiting with horses outside duck down as the guard continues his patrol. While the guard's back is turned, Little Dog and American Horse race over to a cart, hop up from that onto a roof, and then onto the ramparts surrounding the fort. As they run, they spot the guard up ahead. They slip under the walkway, just as he turns and comes back towards them, walking right over the top of them. He turns again and comes to stand just above them. After a couple of moments, he carries on across the ramparts. Little Dog and American Horse take their chance and quickly jump up and over the wall. The guard turns and fires at them, but they hop down onto the ground and ride off on the waiting horses. As the alarm's raised, Josh gets up and everybody hurries outside to see what's going on. The guards fire at the Cheyennes as they ride off into the distance, splashing across the river. Morning. Appearing Day wakes in the storeroom.
Josh?
She sits up as he comes in.
Appearing Day, you better stay here, inside. It'll be safer.
Josh is going away.
Only for a little while. I'm going to see your father. Is there anything you want me to say to him?
All has been said.
He leans over and kisses her. Appearing Day smiles as he leaves, then quickly gathers up her clothes. Outside, the cavalry are gathering in the town centre. As the men line up on horseback, Josh rides past them and over to Colonel Lindsay.
We know who the second killer was, the one who made the rescue.
It was your friend, Little Dog. One of the Pawnee scouts recognized him.
Do you expect Broken Hand to turn his son, an American Horse, over to you, Colonel?
Well, we can't very well ignore two killings.
Certainly we expect it.
Then we may be making this trip for nothing.
Well, let's make it and find out. With your permission, Mr. Tanner.
The colonel gives the signal to move. The horses stream out through the fort gates. They come to the river a short distance away and splash their way through it. The mass exodus of the Cheyennes has begun. Hundreds of them head alongside the river, some on foot, some on horseback. As they move along en masse, some make their way through the waters of the river. In the far distance, the shadows of hills rise up. On a nearby hillside, Colonel Lindsay holds up his hand to halt his men. They stop and look down over the plain. From their vantage point, the Cheyennes are as tiny as ants.
Well, it's started. The first of the tribes are moving south.
An enormous mass of people moving slowly in unison.
Those are the Crow and the Blackfeet.
Some of the men are wearing flamboyant white feathered headdresses.
Those are part of the Sioux and the Arapaho tribes. That means the others are probably moving out too. Except for the Cheyennes.
The women trudge alongside the horses. One old woman is carrying a wicker contraption on her back, containing a baby.
Heading for the promised land. I wonder how long they'll be able to live on promises.
You seem to have become quite attached to the Indians, Mr. Tanner, in one way or another.
If this happened to you, would you like it?
Colonel, if he's to do any of the talking with Broken Hand, it might be wise to keep his attitude in mind.
I will, sir. As well as the fact that he's entitled to his own opinion.
A Cheyenne lookout is standing on a rock. He gives the signal as the colonel and his men ride into the settlement. The Cheyenne keep their distance as the cavalry rides into the settlement. Colonel Lindsay is at the helm, with Josh and Commissioner Trenton behind him. The Cheyenne settlers stand around in small groups, waving their fists at the encroaching soldiers. Colonel Lindsay comes to a standstill. His soldiers create a ring around the center of the settlement, surrounding all the villagers. Chief Broken Hand emerges from his teepee.
I'd like to talk to him first, sir, if I may.
If he'll listen to you.
Josh gets off his horse and heads over to the chief.
Mr.
Chief Broken Hand. I would like to speak to you first of your daughter, of Appearing Day.
I have no daughter. She has chosen.
Little Dog put his trust in me, and because of that, so did you.
We will speak of her no more.
Chief Broken Hand goes over to Colonel Lindsay.
I will sign this treaty because my word has been given. You will wait before the council table.
He heads back to his teepee and goes inside. Cheyenne riders on horseback weave their way through the ring of soldiers, riding back and forth between them in a show of strength.
Mr. Ferguson! Have your twos and fours face about. Yes, sir.
Rising forward! Moving forward! Wheel them out into line! Ho! Ones and threes! One length forward! Ho!
Maybe we should ask him to come to the fort.
No, it's got to be now.
You're right, Colonel. We'll bind all those warriors to Broken Hand's word.
If they can be held off till the signing.
That's the chance we'll have to take.
The Colonel gets off his horse, and he, Josh, and Commissioner Trenton walk towards the council table. Colonel Lindsay turns, waiting for Chief Broken Hand to emerge from his lodge. The chief comes out and walks over to the council table, escorted by three other high-ranking Cheyennes. He looks at his men, then holds up his staff. They do the same, then sit cross-legged on the ground. The chief holds up his hand, stretching it out as if trying to touch every one of his men. Then he comes to face Colonel Lindsay.
The Colonel will give me the papers.
Commissioner Trenton hands Colonel Lindsay the papers.
Two soldiers were killed at our fort. One by American Horse and one by your son, Little Dog. Are they here?
We will talk of them when the paper is signed.
Colonel Lindsay places the papers in the chief's hand. Broken Hand goes to take a seat at the council table, and as he sits down, the rest of the Cheyennes get to their feet. Three of their number rest their spears against the council table and come to stand behind him. Chief Broken Hand takes a moment to read the papers, placing a sword across them to keep them flat. Then he looks up and glances first over one shoulder at his men, then over the other. All his warriors stand with their arms crossed, grim-faced. With a forlorn expression, the chief looks back down at the papers. Then he glances imploringly at Josh, who takes a few steps towards him.
The promises you asked for, Broken Hand, are written there. I will read them with you if you want.
Broken Hand puts his hand on the papers, then stretches out his other hand for a pen, which is quickly given to him. Everyone waits with bated breath as his hand hovers over the paper. Josh glances up at Colonel Lindsay, who in turn looks at Mr. Ferguson. Then, Broken Hand puts his mark on the treaty. When he's finished, he gives the pen back to Josh. Colonel Lindsay breathes a sigh of relief, and the chief calmly rolls up the papers. Then he gets to his feet and goes over to Colonel Lindsay.
The treaty is now signed. My people are bound by it.
In the name of the government of the United States.
A warrior rides up and throws down a knife with a white feather attached. As the rest of the Cheyenne warriors lean forward to look, Colonel Lindsay crouches down to pull it out of the ground.
White feather. It is a challenge. My son and American horse are not bound by your paper. They have chosen to fight and they wait for you in the hills.
Just the two of them?
This is their challenge. They expect you to honor it.
You mean American Horse and Little Dog want to meet the troops in battle? Two men?
Yes, this is true. They are waiting.
Chief Broken Hand walks off.
This is insanity.
Well, if you ask me, the whole thing's a trick.
Broken Hand signed the treaty. He gave us his word.
I'm inclined to trust Broken Hand, but not these young Cheyenne warriors. I can't take a chance on treachery. I'm sending to the fort for the full compliment.
Good.
Shall I tell that to Broken Hand?
It's only fair he knows it. He's being honest with us. He won't take offense. If he isn't, it'll be a fair warning. Mr. Ferguson.
Yes, sir.
Send a dispatch rider to the fort. Call out the full compliment.
Yes, sir.
Broken Hand, the colonel's sending for the full compliment of cavalry.
It is well. I will come out to see my son die. The family of American Horse will want to see also that he dies well. All of my people will have a right to be there, to see this and remember it. Perhaps the white man will have something to remember, too.
Back at the fort. The troops begin to file out through the gate. Appearing Day stands with the other townsfolk, watching with an anxious expression on her face. As the steady stream of horses continues to thunder out of the gate, Appearing Day suddenly runs off in the opposite direction. Outside, the horses splash their way across the river, while inside the fort, Appearing Day rushes back over to the store to see Anne.
Little Dog has gone into the hills to die. American Horse is with him.
And Josh?
He's going out there. There may be much killing. I must go to them. If you can help, Anne.
You keep out of this. Ain't no daughter of mine helping any squaw, you hear?
Come on, Appearing Day. I'm going with you.
The two women hurry off. Wagons are rolling outside the fort, following the last of the troops as they gallop across the river. Out on the plains, the first wave of troops comes to a standstill as they wait for the second wave to join them. The soldiers all set off, kicking up clouds of dust behind them. In a long, steady stream, they make their way across the plain, travelling two or three abreast. When they reach a rocky outcrop, they come to a stop.
Well, if they're picking a place for an ambush, they could do worse.
They'll be waiting there. Broken Hand said they call it the Valley of the Dead.
Colonel Lindsay turns and gives his men the signal to move on. A distance away across the plains, Chief Broken Hand and his men are waiting. As the troops approach, the warriors start to move on the other side of a narrow creek. Colonel Lindsay watches them as he continues on. A few of the Cheyenne warriors cross the creek towards the American troops.
We'll stay on the right side and keep the wash between us, just in case.
Little Dog and American Horse are standing in the rocky hills watching from a far vantage point. They can see the two factions of men on either side of the wash. American Horse looks up at Little Dog. Then they both walk off. They make their way over to some rocks where they've laid out their battle dress. The Cheyenne warriors and the American soldiers continue onwards on either side of the wash. Now on horseback and in their battle dress, Little Dog and American Horse appear from between some trees. The Cheyenne Indians begin to get excited, shaking their spears, while their leader, Chief Broken Hand, remains calm in their midst. Little Dog and American Horse appear on the brow of a hill above them. Colonel Lindsay and his men come to a halt, and beyond them, on the other side of the creek, Chief Broken Hand and his men are also standing still.
Tells you how to draw up a battle line for a war like this.
On horseback, the two men pick their way down a dusty slope towards their enemy. Colonel Lindsay turns to look behind him at Chief Broken Hand. Then he turns back to watch Little Dog and American Horse approaching. Each brandishing a shotgun, the two rebels stare defiantly at the mass of men before them. Then, suddenly, they start to ride towards them. They stop when they're a few feet away. Behind Chief Broken Hand, the warriors respond to their cries. Then Little Dog and American Horse turn and gallop away back to the hills. Chief Broken Hand is looking a little anxious.
Mr. Ferguson!
There.
Take your first rank up the hill and bring them in.
Yes.
Quietly. No shooting, please.
Yes, sir.
Ferguson signals to the first row of men. They move after him in a uniform row. Colonel Lindsay and Josh turn to look at Chief Broken Hand, who's looking concerned.
You're thinking of his father. Broken Hand.
And the warriors.
Little Dog and American Horse gallop up to Ferguson and spit at him. Then they ride wildly around the first line of men, trying to goad them. Ferguson gets out his gun.
He mustn't fire that gun.
Looking frustrated, Ferguson puts the gun back in its holster. Little Dog and American Horse are breaking up the line of soldiers, chasing the horses out of their positions. The warriors behind Chief Broken Hand are getting jittery. The two rebels cause one of the soldiers' horses to buck, nearly throwing him off. The Cheyennes ride up to the creek and back again, raring to go, while Colonel Lindsay and Josh watch anxiously.
Bugler! Sound the recall!
Ferguson and his men return back to the ranks.
What else could I do, sir? If I'd fired them...
I know. That's what they wanted you to do. Well, maybe they'll stop playing in a minute. I hope so. If this keeps up, it may have the whole tribe joining them. It won't be a game anymore. All right.
The two rebels turn to look at the soldiers, laughing.
I don't want to use guns. We can't fire first, or we'll have a war on our hands.
I'm going out there and talk to Little Dog, Colonel.
I doubt if American Horse will let you get within talking distance.
I think it's worth the chance. They still want us to make the first move.
Josh moves forward on his horse, holding his gun high above his head, then throwing it pointedly to the ground, before continuing on towards the two men. Appearing Day and Anne have arrived on horseback. American Horse aims his gun at Josh.
Wait.
Josh gets down from his horse and walks slowly towards them. He goes right up to Little Dog.
Tanner comes to speak for the white soldier.
I'm here to speak for myself.
I am here to fight, not to talk. Get your rifle, Tanner.
I will fight Little Dog if that's what he wishes, with a rifle or with a lance. But I will talk first.
This is a time for dying. Get your rifle, Tanner.
When I have talked. Little Dog and American Horse are still my friends. I've done nothing to change that.
Words have too many shadows. I want no more words.
As your friend, Little Dog, I'm here to ask you not to die.
I will not go with the soldiers. I will die here. But I will not die alone.
Is it your wish that many others die too? Is it your wish that you dishonor your father?
You dare say this?
Broken Hand has given his word that there'll be no more fighting by his people. Yet it is your wish that the Cheyenne warriors break your father's word.
It is better that Cheyennes die like Cheyennes.
The soldiers will not fire first, but I will go and get my rifle, and I'll come back to fight you. But there'll be no glory in it for you, Little Dog, because I'll be one against two.
Josh turns and walks back to his horse. Little Dog's eyes narrow as he watches him go. Josh climbs back up onto his horse, then heads back to go and collect his gun. As he jumps down to pick it up, Colonel Lindsay rides over.
Well, Mr. Tanner?
I think the only solution is for me to goad them into firing first. And hope that their first shots miss.
He rides off towards them again. Chief Broken Hand, Anne, and Appearing Day look worried. As Josh nears the two rebels, he stops.
You, American Horse! Last night you wanted to kill me. What are you afraid of now? Or do you only kill at night?
Stop. This is what the white ones want. Tanner, we are two against one. Send your soldiers to help you, and we will shoot.
I need no help. Does American Horse think I fear him? He is not a warrior. He's a woman. And afraid. What do I need with a rifle? I throw it away. I do not need it.
American Horse shoots at Josh's horse, so Chief Broken Hand raises his gun and shoots American Horse directly in the chest. Josh quickly gets to his feet.
American Horse has shamed us before the white man. Little Dog will not do so.
Broken Hand turns to look at his warriors. Then he looks his son directly in the eyes. Little Dog turns to Josh.
Pick up your gun, Tanner. You will pick up your gun, or I will throw mine away also, and we will fight before them all to the death. The scalp to the winner.
Little Dog!
Appearing Day gallops over on horseback.
You ask for death for yourself, and that is your right. But to pronounce it on others is wrong. He has always spoken with one heart and one tongue. And he has been faithful to your friendship. Can you not be as faithful to him?
Chief Broken Hand waits to hear his son's response. Little Dog moves forward a little, then stretches out his hand towards Josh. Josh grasps his hand firmly in both of his. Little Dog looks up at his father, who smiles. Little Dog cocks his gun.
Here he comes.
He gallops towards the soldiers, shooting one of them dead.
Bring him down!
The soldiers all aim and fire as one. Little Dog's horse gallops on through the ranks, and he falls off it in front of the Cheyennes. Josh and Appearing Day run over.
Columns! Wheel them out in line! Oh!
All the men turn to face Little Dog, who's lying on the ground. Josh runs over to him. He kneels down beside him on the grass. Gently, he repositions Little Dog's legs, so they're both lying straight. Appearing Day stands a short distance away, calmly watching. Josh glances over at her, then slowly takes off his hat. He gently places it on the ground beside Little Dog. Then, as he takes Little Dog's arm and repositions it so it's resting on his abdomen, Appearing Day walks off. Josh straightens the tassel on Little Dog's breastplate. Then he very gently moves his head so it's straight. Chief Broken Hand watches sadly. Josh takes a white handkerchief out of his pocket and gently starts to wipe Little Dog's face. He dabs at his cheeks, then his forehead. Then he takes his headdress of three feathers, which is lying a little way away, and fixes it back to his head. He unfolds his white handkerchief and lies it flat across Little Dog's belly. Then he repositions his other hand over the top of it. Appearing Day returns with Little Dog's horse. Lying on the ground next to Little Dog, Josh finds the comb he gave him. He unfolds it and looks at it for a moment, then folds it back up and puts it into Little Dog's hand. Appearing Day hands him the reins of Little Dog's horse. Josh takes them and loops them carefully around Little Dog's other hand. Chief Broken Hand is close to tears as he watches. Finally, Josh stands up. He and Appearing Day stare down at Little Dog's body. Then Josh puts an arm around Appearing Day and helps her away.
Well, Mr. Tanner, it's all over. I think we've seen the last of the Indian Wars.
They'll be wanting to bury their dead before they go.
What about her? She won't be going with them.
No, she won't be. She's going with me. Appearing Day will be my wife.
Colonel Lindsay salutes him.
Tell him, forward, ho!
Ferguson brings horses over for Josh and Appearing Day.
Good luck, Mr. Tanner.
Thank you.
Chief Broken Hand rides across the creek towards his son, followed by a few of his men. Josh and Appearing Day ride away together, stopping to look back at Chief Broken Hand, who's standing, looking down at his son's body as the soldiers ride off around him. He takes a few steps towards Little Dog. Then he looks over at Josh and Appearing Day, who are waiting a distance away.
As I told you in the beginning, this is a true story. We were married in the Methodist Church in Council Bluffs. Broken Hand lived to see his grandson enter the military academy at West Point.
The end.